2 Samuel chapter 16. We want to begin reading in verse number 5. And if you would stand with me as we read. It says, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai the son of Zeruiah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." Let's pray. Lord, I am thankful to be able to read and study the Word of God. Lord, I'm grateful that we have men of God that have lived before us that we can learn from. And Lord, it's our desire to learn from the life of David. We know the Scriptures give this testimony of him, that he was a man after thy own heart. And Lord, if that's the type of man that David was, Lord, and it was pleasing in thy sight, then Lord, that's the type of people we want to be. We want to be people after your own heart. Amen. And so God, help us to learn from David here this morning. Help us to look and to examine and to thoughtfully consider his actions, and to see if these are the attitudes that we exhibit in our own life. And Lord, also help us to learn something this morning from this man Shimei. He was a man that was unlike David, not a godly man, not concerned about spiritual things. And God, it ultimately led to his demise. And so I pray we'd learn from this man too. And God, I pray we'd be helped. Through this message this morning, may Jesus be exalted. May our lives be helped, whether we be saved or lost. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Last week, we focused on this thought: the world is filled with Absaloms. We need more Davids.
Right.
Absalom, of course, is simply representative of many ungodly men that are found in these middle chapters of 2 Samuel. Amnon is another. King Saul himself in the previous chapters is a man that followed his fleshly lusts. We also looked at Ziba and other men that are found in these chapters. And these men were rebels, liars, fools. They were profane. They were bitter. They were proud. And we don't want to imitate the actions of these men. We want to try to imitate the godly actions of David, a man that was humble, a man that heeded godly instruction, and a man that loved God. We need to strive to be like David. I believe that's why the Lord records for us so many different men, so many different people in the Bible, so that we can see that there are those in flesh that live for God. And it's possible for us to do the same. And so we certainly can learn from the life of David. But this morning, I've entitled my message, Let Him Curse. Let Him Curse. I know this account is something that we've referenced in some of our previous messages, but I want to focus specifically on it this morning and see what it is that we can learn from it. Just kind of understanding the context in which this is given, I think we realize by now that David, early on in his life, was promised by God to be the next king. It's important not to lose sight of that. Because here you've got a man that makes some accusations against David that simply are not true. Maybe the man didn't know the accusations were not true. I'm sure there were many others that went along with what Shimei was saying about David because they did not hear the voice of God. They did not hear the word of God. They did not hear the promise that God made to David. But God told David, you're going to be king. He promised him that. But David waited, as we have seen in this study, patiently for God to bring that about. I don't believe anybody can argue the fact that David was a patient man in waiting for the fulfillment of God's promise.
You're right.
Many others would have taken matters into their own hands to secure the position of the king.
You're right.
But David didn't do that. He feared God. And as a result, God did promote him to the position of king over all of Israel. But we've seen here recently that as David was king, one of his sons, Absalom, rebelled against him. Turned against him. He stole the hearts of the people and set himself up as king. And as a result, David runs or flees from the palace. He's not alone, though, even as we see here in the text that we just read, that there were many others that followed with David, his mighty men were there with him and they were supportive of him. But David feared his life and so he runs from the palace. And as he runs from the palace and his men take a boat in certain cities, we read last week in the first part of this chapter that Ziba comes to him with refreshments. He brings donkeys, he brings something to drink, he brings food so that his men will have something when they're hungry and thirsty. And so here David is now on the run fleeing so that he's not killed by Absalom and those that support him. And during this time is when Shimei encounters King David. And notice in this text the actions of Shimei towards David. It says, first of all, that he cursed David. In here in verse number 5 it says, "And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul." Now that probably helps us to understand why this man had such animosity towards David.
Right.
He was a kin, he was a relative to King Saul. And those that were closest to King Saul normally did not appreciate the fact that David took the throne. They would rather have had one of King Saul's relations, one of his sons, take the throne. But instead, God gives it to David. And so this is probably why, or at least one of the reasons why, Shimei feels the way he does about King David. But it says, "Whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, he came forth and cursed still as he came." He came forth. He no doubt had heard about what had transpired. That Absalom was revolting, rebelling against David, taking the throne, and that David and his men fled. And he came out to see for himself. He came forth to where David was on purpose. He had been waiting for just such a time. Now I think it's important to note that though he felt this way about David before, he never did anything about it. He never said anything vile. He never cursed David then. But now that that David appears may not be king any longer and his son may take his place, he feels at liberty to curse David. And that's what he begins to do. Curses at him. The word cursed, the Hebrew word that's translated cursed, is elsewhere translated despised or slighted, reviled, or contempted. That's how he felt about David. He wasn't a fan.
No, sir.
He didn't love David. He didn't even like David. He was glad about what had happened. He was glad that the kingdom was taken from David. He was glad that David's son turned on him. And he wanted to make it known. And so at the first opportunity, he comes out and he begins to curse David. But he not only cursed David, notice it also says in verse number 6, and he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David. He was rather bold, wasn't he? Now it doesn't tell us that Shimei had an assortment of men around him. David did, and the men that David had around him were his mighty men. Men that could fight. Warriors. But Shimei, for whatever reason, felt like he could say and do whatever he wanted, and there would be no consequences for it. And so he not only cursed, but he picked up stones, and he began to cast them at David and at his men. And I don't know if it's just saying that he was casting them at his men because they happened to be, you know, standing around David, or maybe he just didn't like anybody that supported David. But he just began to cast stones at David and those that stood around him. And he began to call them names. Look at verse 7 again. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, "Come out, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial." Let me take that last phrase first, "thou man of Belial." We've talked about that before in our services, how the sons, the daughters, the children of Belial act in a certain way. They're foolish, they're drunkards, they're fornicators. If you look up those phrases, that's how you'll find this group of people described. Nabal was a son of Belial, and that he was a fool. He wouldn't listen to instruction. And this is what Shimei calls David, a son of Belial. Is that what you would call David? And having examined his life, yes, we know he wasn't perfect. He had sin in his life. But boy, when you look at the overall person of David and how he acted in his life in its entirety, we can only come away with the idea that David was a godly man, not a son of Belial. But that's what David was being called. And Shimei thought that he was justified in doing so. He called him a bloody man. A bloody man, indicating that he thought he was responsible for other people's blood being shed, for other people being killed. We don't know exactly what it is that Shimei was referring to, but he could have been referring to the death of Saul and Jonathan. You'll recall that Jonathan and Saul were killed by the Philistines in battle. And at that particular time, David was living amongst the Philistines. Matter of fact, he was going to go to battle with them until some of the Philistine princes said, "I don't know about this. As soon as we go into battle with David and his men, he's likely to side with King Saul because that's his nation, and fight against us, and then we'll really be in a hurt." So they didn't want David to go, so David doesn't go. He doesn't fight in that battle. But the Philistines progress forward and fight against the people of Israel, and Saul loses his life, and so does Jonathan. And maybe Shimei blamed David for that. But you know, I'd remind Shimei that the only reason David was dwelling amongst the Philistines is because Saul sought his life.
You're right. Yes, sir.
Maybe he was referring to the death of Abner and Ishbosheth. Not Mephibosheth, don't confuse that. But Abner and Ishbosheth, they were relatives too of King Saul. It was Joab that took the life of Abner, who probably the people wanted to replace King Saul. It was his cousin. But David didn't approve of what Joab did.
No, sir.
Matter of fact, Joab is later to lose his life for shedding innocent blood when Solomon comes to the throne. And neither did David approve of, I think it was the sons of Rimmon who killed another one of Saul's relatives, Ishbosheth. He didn't approve of that. Matter of fact, they brought this man's head to David, thinking that he would be pleased that one of the relatives of King Saul had been killed, and he wasn't pleased at all. He took their lives for what they had done. But maybe Shimei again, still in some way, blamed David. And even others say that maybe he was referring to David giving the 7 sons of Saul up to the Gibeonites. But again, David was only doing that as a result of the famine that had struck the nation, and God had indicated to David that this was because of the blood that King Saul had shed, and he had innocently slaughtered some of the Gibeonites, and so David wanted to make amends for that, and so this is what he did. But again, this is found later on chronologically in the Bible, so it's unlikely that this is what Shimei is referring to, unless it's simply out of order, which some people believe is true. But for whatever reason here, Shimei calls David a bloody man. He blames him for the death of perhaps Saul and Jonathan, or Saul's relatives that have been killed. But David wasn't to blame for that. Maybe Shimei blamed David in some manner for usurping the throne, taking it from King Saul when it didn't belong to him. But again, I remind you, God promised it to him. God gave it to him. Saul lost the throne because of his own actions, not because of David's. Because he rebelled against the commandments of God. You know, as I read this chapter, one of the things that I'm impressed with is how easy it is to make accusations against someone.
Right.
It's a very easy thing to do. Anybody really can say anything about anyone. And if they mingle a little bit of truth in there with it, they're likely to get a lot of people to believe it. Which comes back to the idea that I've mentioned quite a few times over the last few weeks, and that is, when you judge matters, judge them righteously. When you judge matters, don't judge them on the surface. Here's a man that was making accusations about King David that simply were not true. Did he believe them? Absolutely. Were they true? No, they weren't. He comes cursing, casting stones. He comes calling names to King David. And one of David's men, Abishai, what's he say? He says, "Why don't you just let me go up there and kill Shimei?" Look at verse number 9. "Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." That's how most of us would have felt in the flesh. That's the response of the natural man. Is it not? "But the king said, What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah?" Joab was also a son of Zeruiah. And this is the way they always thought. Their answer to everything was off with their head. Just kill them. And that's why I think David's saying what he's saying here. But he says, "So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, Curse David. Who shall then say, Wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and all his servants, Behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." David simply acknowledges that God has a purpose for allowing Shimei to do this. You know, again, there's one thing we can say about David as we look and examine what takes place here, is he was not controlled by the flesh. He was not controlled by the natural man, because this is not the way the natural man responds. He had it within his power to take this man's life if he wanted to. And even David's flesh probably wanted to do that. But he didn't. He didn't. And I'll tell you why he didn't do it. Because he had discovered in his life that it's much better to just trust God. Mm-hmm. To just trust God. And maybe there was a part of him that said, you know what, it would be all right to take Shimei's life for what he's doing. But there was another part that must have been reluctant and said, well, you know what? If that's the will of God, I'll just put that in God's hands. Because he said in verse 12, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. It may be. He wasn't sure about it. But he said, you know, it just may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction. He'll look and see what's happening, how I'm being cursed, how stones are being cast at me, how I'm being called names. And that the Lord in the end will requite me. He'll repay me good for this man's cursing. And you know, that is exactly what happens. We find David again just putting everything in the hands of God and saying, God, you take care of it. You take care of it. This may be an ungodly man. I may be able to put forth my hand against him, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to put it in your hands. You know, I believe that David was able to be so humble because, you know what, his heart maybe was still broken over the fact of what he had done to Bathsheba's family and to Uriah the Hittite. Maybe there was a sense within him that thought, you know what, I probably brought part of this upon myself. Again, it's that attitude of David's. He doesn't look to blame other people. He looks inwardly. He says, maybe this is my fault. Maybe that's why this is happening. Maybe God's trying to humble me further. And so he doesn't put forth his hand against Shimei. And again, to make a long story short, and we'll see as we go through the rest of this book, the kingship is restored unto David. Absalom is dead. The people again submit themselves to David as their king. And you know, the moment the people do that, you know who comes running? Shimei.
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, if we were to read that text, he's the first one. The men of Judah come, and here he is at the front of the line. And as soon as I think it was David that was crossing the Jordan on a ferry, crossing the Jordan River on a ferry, and David and his men, they land, and Shimei is the first one to meet him.
Yep.
And he falls on his face. Falls on his face and just begs David to forgive him of his iniquity and his sin and that he's done wrong to spare his life. And again, Abishai says, let me just cut his head off. And David says again, what am I going to do with you sons of Zeruiah? That's your answer to everything. David was such a good man. Be patient with the sons of Zeruiah. And David says, I won't. He says, the kingdom has been restored unto me. That I'm king once again. There'll be no bloodshed this day. And Shimei's life is spared. But you know, as you look at 1 Kings chapter 2, David is preparing Solomon for his departure. And you know, in the past, every time I read through that section of Scripture, I basically see David is saying to Solomon, you need to take vengeance upon my enemies. Their sin now needs to be, for lack of a better term, paid for. Joab is killed, and so is Shimei. Now, not immediately. Matter of fact, there's a lot of, well, I don't know if there's disagreement on my part with most commentaries in that portion of Scripture. Matter of fact, if you would, just turn there. 1 Kings chapter 2. Notice verse number 8. David is speaking to Solomon. He says, and behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him, by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now therefore hold him not guiltless. For thou art a wise man, and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. And his forehead bring thou down to the grave with blood. And I have you to notice that that's the same thing that David said to Solomon in regards to Joab. If you look at verse 6, do therefore according to thy wisdom, he says to Solomon, and let not his forehead go down to the grave in peace. And we'll read later on in this chapter that Joab is slain, and so is Shimei. But again, like I said, not immediately. Because Solomon approaches Shimei. And what he says to him is, I don't want you leaving the country. You build your house and you stay put. And if you leave the country, the nation of Israel, you'll lose your life. And a period of time goes by. I think it's 2.5 years. Maybe it's 1.5 years. It says here in the chapter. That amount of time goes by, and two of Shimei's servants run from him, and they go into another country. Maybe they were familiar with Solomon's command to Shimei, but he wasn't a very smart man, and he went after him. And Solomon got word of what had taken place, and he confronted Shimei and had him slain, had him killed. Some people read verses 8 and 9 of 1 Kings chapter 2 and conclude that David was warning Solomon of the nature of Shimei and how he was prone to mischief. Matter of fact, that's what Solomon says when he confronts him. If you look in later on in the chapter, in verse 44, 1 Kings 2, verse 44, and the king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to. He was prone to wickedness, prone to mischief. He also says that thou didst to David, my father. If he had the opportunity again to curse Solomon, he probably would. If he felt like it was safe, there would be no negative ramifications, he probably would curse Solomon because he was still bitter that Saul's lineage was not upon the throne. That his relatives weren't in power. And so some people, again, they read verses 8 and 9 and they see David warning Solomon of the nature, the character of Shimei, not to trust him. And they see Solomon as putting these restraints upon Shimei, knowing that if he left the country, he might form alliances to overthrow King Solomon. And I don't know, maybe that's what's taking place. But it's interesting here in this chapter that David says to Solomon, you're a wise man, you know how to handle this. Don't let Shimei go down to the grave in peace. Solomon, knowing perhaps the kind of man that he is, knows that he won't be able to obey this commandment not to leave the country. He sets him up. That's what it appears to me. He sets him up. Says, don't leave. If you leave, you're going to die. Knowing that one day he would leave the country. And he would be slain for that sin and for the sins against his father. So Shimei's life is taken. Let me do my best here in the next couple of moments to make application of what we find here in regards to Shimei. Because, you know, there was a time in our country and around the world where the atheist declared, God is dead. And they became very bold in their skepticism and their cursing against the Lord God. They tempted him to strike them with lightning if he indeed was the God that created the heavens and the earth, if he was the omnipotent God that could do whatever he wanted. And of course they felt justified when lightning didn't strike in their unbelief. And so the atheists, the secular crowd, the ungodly, they've been having the gay old time ever since because they think that God has been stripped from his throne. They think he's no longer in power. They think he doesn't control everything. And so they think that they can do and say whatever they want and just get away with it forever. But that's simply not true.
Amen. That's right.
What they fail to realize is it's only because of the goodness of God that they're allowed to go on. Because if he wanted, if he truly wanted, he could kill them. That's what David said to Abishai. When Abishai wanted to kill him the second time, David said, "Hey, I am the king. Don't you know I'm the king?" In other words, if I wanted to, yes, I could. Boy, if there's, I don't think there's any better illustration of meekness than that right there. Here's a man that has in his hands the power of life and death. And what did he choose to do? To spare the life of Shimei. And what is God choosing to do
Amen.
To those in an ungodly world that have turned their back on him and rejected him? He's lifted his hand, not against them, but away from them temporarily. But you know what? This crowd one day is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, not in his humiliation, but as sovereign king, as the potentate, the one that can do anything, the one who has power to save life, the one that has power to destroy life. Then what will they say? Because he'll not hold them guiltless. He'll not hold them guiltless. You know, maybe you're here and you're lost. And you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Boy, don't be tempted to turn your back on Him.
Mm-hmm.
And to go the way of the world. To curse Him, thinking He's not on the throne. It may appear that God's not on the throne. It may appear that man's on the throne. And he can do whatever he wants. But it won't appear that way very long.
Amen.
Shimei, when he thought David was gone for good, he became bold. Sinners in the world, they're becoming bold today. It's a lack of power and influence that believers in local churches have.
Mm-hmm.
They become bold. They're doing things that they wouldn't have done in generations in the past. They think they'll get away with it forever, but they won't. But they won't. And let me make an application to the believer and say again, this is a wonderful example. David is a wonderful example here of what we should be in our lives. We should just leave things in the hands of God. Hands of God. Critics may curse. They may cast stones. They may call us names. But God's in control.
Amen.
And so if we ever find ourselves in similar situations to that of David, we need to be able to say, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for His cursing this day. It may be. It may not be. That didn't change David's actions.
Amen.
Again, what a meek man. I've often heard meekness defined as power under control. Well, this is an example of power under control. David could have done whatever he wanted. But he exercised restraint because he wasn't controlled by the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man after God's own heart. And he spared Shimei, an ungodly man, just as God up in heaven
yes, sir.
Spares the lives of those that curse him nowadays. People say a lot of untrue things about God, don't they?
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They blame Him to be the father of a bloody religion. Many times they blame God when His children don't act the way that they're supposed to act. But He's not at fault. And neither was David when Joab did that which was wrong. Neither was David when the Philistines smote King Saul and Jonathan. He wasn't to blame. for the actions of others, even though he might have been aligned with them at different times. So again, just two applications for this text. For the believer, please consider David's actions here. Because I think you'll find times in your life where you're able to act in the same meek manner. Your flesh may not want you to, but that would be what is most honoring to the Lord. And to those that are unsaved, I'm sure we don't have anybody here that's turned their back wholeheartedly upon God. But you know what? There's a lot of rebellious people in this world that grew up in fundamental Baptist churches.
Yeah.
And at some point in their life, they turned their back on God. They allowed themselves to be exalted as king in their life rather than allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to reign over their hearts. And they do whatever they want and they think they're going to get away with it forever, but they're not. Shimei stood before the king again. Not in his humility, but in his exaltation. He bowed before David that first time, didn't he? Forgive me. I don't think he truly meant it. I think he just wanted to keep himself alive. But you know what? You, if you're not saved, you need to come to the Lord on your face. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sin and to save you. Because the Bible does say that every one of us will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
And it's best to do that right here and now.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you stand before Him the second time, it's at the judgment seat of Christ which will determine your rewards, not the great white throne judgment which will determine your punishment in hell. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for this account that we have in the Scriptures and the things that we can learn from it. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to be godly. Help us not to be controlled by the flesh, by our old nature. Help us instead to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that there would be no young people, no adults in this church that would go on in years and become a rebel against Thee. Lord, we look at the actions of Shimei and think certainly no one in this church could ever be so vile. But Lord, we know out in the world today, we see examples of people who were in Bible-believing churches who turn their back on Thee and the truths of Thy Word. And Lord, they have greatly helped the efforts of Satan in drawing the lost world unto him and away from You. So God, help the children here this morning to have tender hearts that like that of David's. Help them to love You. God, help us to do our best to instruct them in the ways of God. Lord, if there's a young person here that's not saved, may they be saved this morning. May they call upon Jesus, believing that He's the Son of God, the One that died for them, was buried, and rose again the third day. May they completely trust in Him and accept Your free gift of salvation that You offer. And God, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to 337, Lead Me to Calvary. 337, and as we sing, if there's something you need to pray about, I encourage you to come. If you need to be saved, why don't you come and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to trust Christ as my Savior."